Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price, the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today on the Patriots Report, we have some final thoughts on the Mac Jones era following the trade to Jacksonville. The state of the team is free agency is set to open and some possibilities for the franchise to consider moving forward at wide receiver. We also remember the career of Malcolm Butler after the famed cornerback announced his retirement over the weekend. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, free agency starts this week. We're taping this on Monday, March 11th. And so people who are listening or watching have to understand that, look, it's a fluid situation. Things could literally change the minute that we finish this podcast. That being said, let's jump into a few things that we know. Yesterday, the news came down. Mac Jones traded for a sixth-round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I wanted to get your take on that. And what Mac's lasting legacy is here, because I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback drop off that precipitously. We've talked about this before. It's not all his fault. It wasn't all his fault, but the way things worked for him here, it was just a matter of sooner rather than later, he was going to see the door.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of, it sucks the way that things worked out. Right. I mean, I think there was so much promise, you know, his first couple of years, he went to a Pro Bowl, things were looking good, you know, and I don't want to ever say that he was replacing somebody's shoes, but he was certainly seemed like he was, you know, there, he could have been the future, right? He could have led this team to be a successful team and a winning, continue this winning organization, right? But that wasn't the case. Like you said, I don't think he got a lot of help from the organization. We really didn't put enough behind him for him to be successful. You know, and that's kind of the story, right? I mean, it is what it is. The writing was really on the wall for him, right? I mean, it was either come back and have a chance to compete for a job, you know, try to just erase last year from your memory as best you can and, you know, see what happens, right? But realistically, now, you know, he's going to Jacksonville. He's going to sit, you know, he's going to sit behind Trevor, and he's going to be the Sam Darnold of the 49ers, right? He's going to sit behind. He's going to be a backup quarterback from now until the end of time. And he'll probably get an opportunity, right? Somewhere along the line, there's injuries happen and whatever. And you know, I listen, I got nothing against the kid, man. I wish him nothing but the best. And I hope that when that opportunity comes, you know, he's able to fall back into what he was doing when he first got into New England. And he plays well. And, you know, he's got a long career ahead of him. He can have a very successful career. We all know how this quarterback thing works, right? Guy goes out, Trevor gets hurt or something, you know, a couple years down the line, and, you know, Mac comes in and he's the savior of Jacksonville. All of a sudden, he's signing a $100 million contract the next year to go play for, you know, who knows, right? And he's given that next shot. So I think for Mac, listen, man, it's a fresh start. You get to go to a new environment, new organization. You get to kind of just forget about last year, worry about yourself, right? And continue to grow as a football player. And when that opportunity comes, you make the most of it and have a long, long, successful career.
A few thoughts initially. First of all, the Patriots are in Jacksonville this coming season in 2024. Mm-hmm. It would have been a lot of fun if the Jacksonville was coming up to New England.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for all the let's check in with Mac Jones type of stories again. I think he's going to be the backup unless something goes horribly wrong in Jacksonville. He has a chance to reset his career.
Yep.
With the Jaguars and then hit free agency. And I don't know of anyone who is going to be rooting harder for Josh McDaniels to find a job as an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach than Mac Jones, because he was the one guy in 3 years who was consistently able to unlock Mac, maximize the strengths, minimize the weaknesses. And if they can get on the same page, if he can find a spot where with Josh, wherever Josh ends up landing, that might work. I'm not saying he's going to be the second coming of Tom Brady, but that is a step in the reclamation process. The last thing for me, it's never good when you have a quarterback in his first 3 years in the league have three different offensive coordinators.
No, it's hard, man. This kid did not have it easy. And that's not an easy thing. You're getting three different coaches telling him three different things, coaching him three different ways. That's hard. It's hard for anybody. It was hard for me when I had to go about it, because you're learning. Some guys telling you to run it off steps. The other guy's telling you to run it off feel. This guy's telling you to run it off depth. It's difficult. And at the quarterback position, it's just 10x of that difficulty level, right? Mm. And I like to your point though. You know, if Josh is good at anything, he's good at coaching. He's good at breaking down and teaching his quarterbacks how to see things and how to diagnose plays and how to diagnose defenses and being out there. And if when he was with Josh, I mean, I think arguably he had his best years, you know, with Josh. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think those go hand in hand. So, you know, if Josh was to go somewhere and get another job somewhere, I would, you know, encourage Mac Jones to try to follow him, but you know, who knows, man? I mean, this kid could go down to Jacksonville, get a fresh start, have no new energy about him, and play some different ball like we didn't see him. I mean, the environment that you get put into has a direct influence on you as a player, as a person, and just your overall attitude, right? And I think last year it was very hard. I mean, we were losing every single game, and everyone was pointing fingers at our quarterback, and you know, that's a tough spot to be in. And this year, he doesn't have the fingers, right? Mm-hmm. The fingers are pointed at another guy, right? And the expectations are on another guy. There's no expectations for you anymore, which is a good and bad thing, right? It's a bad thing because you're not in that position to be the starter, you know, or the expectations are on you to be successful and win that spot. Like, no one's expecting you to go down there and do that. But it's a good thing because you just go out there and have fun, man. Get back like this. Like, yes, is this your job and should it be taken very seriously? But at the end of the day, if you don't enjoy this, it's going to be a painful, long career. Right. And if he can go down there, find that love for this game again, not saying that he lost it, but I'm sure there was some times and, you know, that he questioned it throughout this year, like knowing kind of probably in the middle of December where it's dark outside all day and, you know, you leave the facility at night and you come to the facility when it's dark. I mean, it's tough, you know, like Northeasterns know that the winter can be hard, you know, on your mental stability. Right. And, you know, I think being down in the in nice warm weather in Jacksonville, like I think maybe it gives him new life. So
plus he's home.
Yeah. He's home. I wish him nothing but the best, man.
You know,
I hope
that's. You never know. It's just, it was time for a change of scenery. Yep. for him.
Of course. I mean, listen, we're changing the entire organization. That hasn't changed in over two decades, right? And he was never going to become the starter again in New England. I think we all knew that. And now he gets a chance to kind of, you know, restart his career, do it somewhere else, again, with little to no expectations, and go out there and just get back to playing football.
What's the best path forward now for the Patriots? Now that we know that, again, the things that we know, Baker Mayfield has re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In my mind, that was the only logical step forward at the free agent position when you're talking about a long-term starter. Yep. I don't want anything to do with Kirk Cousins. I don't want anything to do with Ryan Tannehill. I think that Baker would have been, based primarily on his relationship with Alex Van Pelt, that would have been an option moving forward. But that's not going to happen now that he's back in Tampa Bay. The other options, obviously, you take a quarterback at number three, and then you go and you get some sort of veteran placeholder, mentor type, a Jacoby Brissett, a Gardner Minshew, to help the kid along. I'm just curious about, are Gardner Minshew and Jacoby Brissett ready for that stage of their careers?
I don't know. When you say their names, I mean, I think they're both, you know, what they've been able to do in their careers. I mean, they've both kind of stepped up to the plate when their name has been called, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess they'd have to be given the opportunity to do that. Right. And I don't think either of us could sit here and answer that question, whether or not they're ready for it. We could sit here and say they're not, and then we do it and they become a great mentor. Right. And obviously both of them have had, you know, their numbers counted out, and they continue to have good careers and kind of stepping up, you know, when they get called upon. And you know, Jacoby, familiar with the organization. Do I think he'd be a good mentor to a young rookie quarterback? I mean, I don't think he would be bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that he'd be giving bad advice. I think that, you know, he got to play underneath some pretty great quarterbacks, right? So he's been around the league. So he continues obviously to learn, and he's obviously, you know, taken a lot of, you know, the people that have played in front of him and used it to his own, you know, to become a better quarterback. So, you know, I think that could help. You know, Gardner Minshew, you know, I don't know. I mean, stuff scares me about him, right? Because he's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of guy. Like, you know, he goes out there, doesn't give two craps about where, you know, he just wants to make plays, man. And I love that about him. Yeah. I do, you know, because he goes out there and just tries to ball, you know, and that's great. But, you know, is a rookie quarterback going to be able to learn, you know, a lot from the way that he plays? You know, I don't know. So,
well, it's more the idea that, are these guys ready to come to a place where they know they're ultimately not going to be, you know, if everything works out perfectly, they're not going to be the starter by, let's say, the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Gardner, no, because everything that tells me about him is that he just wants to be, he wants to start. Right. I mean, I think he goes to places and he's very, I think he kind of speaks his mind about not wanting to be a backup, and I respect, you know, you got to respect that. So I don't think he would ever want to come to a situation where he's like, you're going to be the backup and you need to teach this kid how to play.
Yeah. And not everyone can do that. I mean, not everyone is just wired that way. And that was more my idea that, look, you reach a stage in your career where it's like, I'm transitioning to a role where I'm going to have to guide the next guy. I'm going to be the Crash Davis.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would also argue the fact that it's, you know, maybe that's not the path that we need to go. Okay. Right. Like, sure. Let's just say we bring in Gardner, we bring in Jacoby, you know, listen, if this kid is outplaying the rookie that we draft, you know, if we draft a rookie at three, what does that say to the locker room? You're a brand new coach, right? And the players are not dumb, right? Everyone sees the same thing that the coaches are seeing. And if you have a guy that goes out in training camp and goes out in the preseason and you go, hopefully, I'm assuming, you know, I would love for Gerard to schedule a bunch of joint practices this, you know, this training camp where you can actually get that competitive juice, like really going and kind of see what your team's made of. You bring in a vet that goes out and now plays a rookie. It would be tough for me as a head coach to sit here and say, hey, you know, you're going to take a seat and, you know, and help this kid along, even though I know you outplayed him. right? So I think that's a world that we also have to live in too, is the guy that we bring in, or, you know, if we bring in, you know, he's potentially could be our starter. I don't think we can just rely on him being the quote unquote mentor to this rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
if the kid's not ready, and we know that, right, just by how he's performing, then he's not ready. Why throw him out there? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the benefit of that?
I'm curious about this too. I want to jump in here real quick. I'm curious about the Elliot Wolf impact in all of this, because he came from Green Bay, a place where they really believe in the idea of drafting a quarterback and sitting him for a year or two or three. And I'm curious if that is all part of the conversation here as well, where if you have a guy, if you have, let's say Bailey Zappe has a hell of a summer.
Right.
And is throwing to, you know, T. Higgins and Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry, and things all of a sudden start to click for this young man. Then what do you do? I mean, it kind of speaks to your point that it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic regardless of who comes in here and plays quarterback next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think from the organization standpoint, the staff, I mean, I know that they're talking about this. There's no way that they're all sitting around a room saying the guy that we draft is going to be the starter. There's just no way. I mean, we can do all the draft interviews and put on as much tape as possible, but at the end of the day, college football is not NFL. And there is no way of knowing how good these kids are going to be until they put on pads in an NFL, you know, on an NFL field and go play against the best of the best. And we won't know that until August, right? And I think we just have to, you know, we have to be prepared, and they have to be prepared for, you know, Zappe to outplay this kid, or if we bring in a vet to outplay this kid, and just say, hey, listen, there's a path here. There's, you know, we have a plan, right? But we're not going to throw you out there and let you be ridiculed. Let Gerard get ridiculed for, you know, putting a kid out there that's just not ready. Like, sit there and learn, right? And take in every single bit of information that you can, and continue to grow, you know, and be able, you know, get as many reps as you can in practice. The thing, you know what I loved, a great thing that Bill did was throughout the year, right? At the end of the practice, he had a competitive period, but it was for all practice squad. It was for guys that didn't play. It was for, you know, backup quarterbacks that don't get reps during practice. And it was a live period, right? We did one-on-ones. They did 7-on-7s. They did 11 on, like, and they got the reps, right? This was just another way for coaches to evaluate these players that they don't get to see throughout the year. So, you know, that's what he's got to, like, this, whoever comes in, right? I mean, listen, we could all look like idiots too. This kid comes in, he just starts lighting it up, and we're like, okay, cool, you're ready, let's go. Like, right? And like, no, take the training wheels off. But until he proves that, or who, you know, whoever it is, you know, I think we just have to be cautious of not ruining a kid's career in year one of a brand new team, right? And a brand new head coach. It's just, I don't want to go down this path, man, of drafting quarterbacks every single year of like, all right, this guy's going to be it. It's like, yeah, like that's what we're fighting right now, you know? So it's a slippery slope, man. I mean, and there's a lot of things that could happen. So obviously free agency and who we bring in is going to be very interesting. And obviously who we draft too, you know, that's going to play a huge part of it.
I want to change gears here real quick. One of your ex-teammates, Malcolm Butler, announced over the weekend that he was retiring from football at the age of 34. I was always, and look, the Super Bowls, plural, aside, I was always impressed by watching Malcolm on a daily basis,
yep,
in practice, in games, whatever the case may be, because, and I say this with all due respect, he looked like an absolute pain in the ass to play against.
Yeah.
Just like, every single snap, food and rent were on the line. What was he like as a competitor? And maybe what was your favorite Malcolm story? Again, setting aside, you know, Super Bowl 52 and 49, right. Baby.
You know what? I think I remember coming to New England in 16, and you know, Malcolm obviously was on the rise and he was starting, and he had the great Super Bowl, you know, a few years prior to that. The thing that I loved about Malcolm was he did not care who was lining up across from him. You could have been a practice squad. You could have been a rookie. You could have been a 10-year vet. This dude would literally not care. And he was going, you were going to get, I think that's why I meshed. I mean, I loved playing against him, man. I mean, and I had, there's a lot of DBs that were very much like that. They also knew that they weren't getting anything less than my 100%. Like, they knew that regardless, blocking, you know, running, run play, pass play. If I was backside running a go, like, I'm going to try to smoke you. Right. And I think Malcolm knew that. I think there was a profound mutual respect, you know, between the two of us. I thought he was a great teammate. I loved his energy. I mean, he took a lot of chances. He was aggressive, and you know, I had a lot of good years with Malcolm, man. I mean, we battled every August. It was competitive in New England. And I think we all enjoyed that competitiveness. I mean, I think that's, you know, I missed that the most, you know, going to, you know, battling your own teammates, you know, in training camp. I mean, that was some of the best times I had throughout my career, is, you know, getting that time with your team and getting to go against each other like that. And, you know, one-on-ones and all this stuff. I mean, he was a great player. You know, I loved playing against him. He had an unbelievable career, guy that didn't have a name for himself, you know, much like myself, you know, when he first came in the league. And he made the most of every single opportunity that he got, and made some pretty big impact plays, you know, in some big time games. So, you know, congratulations to Malcolm, you know, on a pretty outstanding career that probably no one expected him to have.
Does he make your short list of the most hellish DBs to play against?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's up there.
Who else is on that list?
Stephon Gilmore. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was just a pain in the ass to go against, just because he was just freakishly athletic. There are a lot of guys. I mean, Logan Ryan, you know, a lot of guys that played with and then played against. I mean, mm-hmm. Logan was not someone that was physically going to blow you away, but he was just damn smart, man. I mean, he studied guys like you would not believe, and he understood the game, and he put himself in good spots. You know, going against him, Steph, Malcolm, Jalen, you know, I mean, I hated going against Marcus Peters. You know, I mean, you know, Malcolm definitely makes a short list for sure.
Who talked the most? I'm curious. On the other side of the ball.
I mean, Jalen talked the most. Steph was a silent killer. So you couldn't get Steph to open up his mouth. I mean, you could get into an all-out brawl with Steph and he wouldn't say anything to you. I think that's probably what pissed us off the most about him, because he was so good, but he just wouldn't talk. Malcolm talked a bunch, you know, but like, that was fun for me, man. You know, in training camp, and you get, you know, you draw back and forth with the defense, and it was not, it's all out of competitiveness, right? I mean, there was no ill will towards any of these guys. I mean, I loved when guys started chirping. That was like my favorite time during the game. You want to start chirping? Great. I know that I'm doing something right, you know, or at least there's respect there that you feel like you have to come at me from a personal level, you know, like you're going out of your way to try to talk smack to me. Like, all right, cool. Like, let's, you know, four quarters, let's see if we can keep it up.
Last DB question. Who was the guy that you loved seeing across from you? Who you knew, reputation, whatever the case may be, you just had the book on him. You could beat him every single time.
Good question. I don't really know if there was a guy.
How about a defense?
I mean, listen, I like me when I line up against somebody, right? I mean, yeah. I feel like I do it. I did enough of my prep throughout my career and studying and knowing how to win against different guys. Like, there was a lot of, there were more times than I can remember where I knew that I was going to be able to beat guys in certain routes just because I knew how to, I just knew how to beat them. Right. Mm-hmm. And I studied it and watched it. I think my level of respect for these guys was knowing that they study too. Mm-hmm. And there were not many guys that I lined up against that were going to let me beat them every single time, right? At some point they were going to try to get their hands on me, or they were going to, you know, they were going to stone me at the line or something like that. But, you know, I didn't just run back to the huddle with my tail tucked between my legs. I was like, okay, cool. Like, you won that round. It's like, here comes round two, you know, and now I'm going to pull something else out of my bag to try to win. And, you know, they defensive backs, like, if they're not ready for it, like, then I'm going to start going to that, you know? So it was always games, right, that you're playing with these guys. You're always trying to find the best ways to win, you know, what works against different guys. And some guys were better at things than others. Like, Steph was as patient as all hell, right? I mean, you could sit there at the line of scrimmage and, you know, do a million different releases and the guy wouldn't move, right? I mean, he was a tough person to beat. So for me, going against Steph, like, I had to switch up everything with him, right? And it was more of these violent moves and direct stuff to really try to get him off the line. Like, Jalen, I knew I could move, right? He was just a bigger guy. But I also knew, like, if I felt like I had beat him, he was athletic enough to be right back in my hip pocket, like, mm-hmm. play, you know, and make a play on the ball. So, like, the route was never over with him. You know, Malcolm, she was going to be a fight, man. Like, this dude would literally walk up in line of scrimmage and try to punch you in the face. Like, you had to be ready. Like, he was one of the smaller but most physical guys, like, strong, like, very, very strong. I remember one-on-ones. I was coming back from an injury, and I was in that competitive period, right? Like, Bill was like, dude, you haven't been in here. Like, you need to get back into it. Like, fine, great. Line up against Malcolm Butler, right? And he jumped me at the line of scrimmage, and I did not move from the line of scrimmage because he got his hands on me, and I was embarrassed. And it was one of those things where I would never let that happen to me again. I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I think he tried to do it to me, you know, later in that practice again, and I was ready for it, right? Just dipped underneath him, you know, went off the, you know, and, you know, you learn from your mistakes. But Malcolm was strong, man. I mean, you would never guess it, but he got his hands on you, dude. I mean, it was like, it was going to be if you weren't ready for it, you weren't going anywhere. Play's over.
I loved watching him play. I really did. I loved watching him play again. It felt like lining up against him was just the worst thing in the world, because you knew you were in for just 70 snaps of him just yapping at you and poking at you and chasing you around. And just, it was going to be a long day when you were lined up opposite Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. There was no lack of fight in that kid, man. I mean, he fought like hell for four quarters when he was lined up against you. So he was a good player, man. He really was, you know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
want to shift gears here a little bit to talk about wide receivers. And the news that we got this morning, again, it's Monday, March 11th, is that T. Higgins was franchised by the Bengals, but he wants a trade. If you're New England, do you call up Cincinnati and say, look, you can have the number 34 overall pick for T. Higgins, knowing that you're going to eventually have to pay him somewhere in the vicinity of, let's say, $15 to $20 million a year for the next few years?
I don't think it's worth closing any doors, right? You know, I think the way that the draft is going, right? I mean, I think we're pretty much dead set on drafting a quarterback at number three. Mm-hmm. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be our third pick. So we're going to take quarterback, right? And Marvin, he's going to be gone, I would imagine, right? I mean, he's first rounder written all over him, and someone's going to take, if he's available, someone's going to take him. So we've lost that one. Do I think drafting rookie receivers and expecting them to be big time playmakers on a team is the answer? Like, no, I don't, because I think that takes some time for these kids to kind of get, you know, the Jamar Chases of the world. You know, they don't exist. Like, they're far and few between, right? Of those guys that can come in and make a direct impact. So do I think going out and getting a guy like T. Higgins that is an established receiver and has played pretty dang well since he's been in the league? Like, yeah, man. I mean, we gotta take some chances. Like, listen, if we go out and he is a complete flop, then he's a flop, right? I mean, it is what it is. But like, I don't think we can really operate in this world of like, okay, we need guaranteed guys that are going to give us guaranteed stats. Like, we gotta take some chances here, and we gotta take some chances on guys. And if T. Higgins is a guy that can go out and has proven more times than enough that he can be that guy, and he is a good receiver, make contested catches, have good years, is available. Like, yeah, let's pay him, right? And let's try to find a way to get him here and see what happens. You know, give him a guy that, you know, can get him the ball, right? And he's surrounded by some other talent. I mean, we signed KB back, right? So I was happy to see that. You know, got my guy back in New England. And hopefully he comes back from his ACL. And then we got Hunter Henry back. So we got two guys that, you know, that are familiar with the play. You know, they obviously, you know, started playing much better towards the end of the season. You know, add a few more pieces here and there. You know, we got Pop too. I mean, he's still growing, you know. So there are pieces being placed, right? I mean, it's just, you need that guy. Like, I mean, who else are we going to go get?
Yeah.
Free agency.
There's Calvin Ridley. There is Marquise Brown. There are no.
But are they number ones?
Yeah, no, they're not number ones. They're not number one. There are no number ones left on the market. And I know for years, obviously in New England, the whole idea, well, you don't need a number one wide receiver. You can have a bunch
of. But we don't have that team anymore.
Exactly. This is a different era. It's a different level of expectation.
Yeah.
You need to be able to find that guy. You need to be able to find him. Need to be able to find a number one. And if you can do it, if you can call up Cincinnati and say, look, we'll give you number 34 for T. Higgins.
Yeah.
We will be, I would wholeheartedly endorse that move. I also think that, to your point before, bringing back a guy like Kendrick Bourne last night, 3 years for a deal that could be worth much as $33 million. That's good business right there.
Yeah.
Good guy, great locker room presence, versatile, a lot of positive energy. That's a guy who you can build a team. That's a kind of a complementary player who is important when it comes to the team building process.
100%. I mean, you need those guys, right? You need to have I know that there's going to be a ton of turnaround this year, right? But you also need to bring back guys that at the end of the, you know, they're sitting in their exit meetings saying that they were freaking pissed off the way that this year went, and that they don't want to sit here and be a part of a losing organization, and they want to win. Right. And if they sat there and said, like, I want to win here, right? Gerard, you got it. I want to play for you. I want to win. I'm committed to doing what it takes to win. Like, you want those guys, right? And those are the types of players that are going to shape, you know, this team, right? And you're going to bring in new pieces, and those new pieces are going to fall into place, right? And they're going to want to be, again, no one obviously wants to be a part of a losing organization, but the way that people fit into a team and in a locker room atmosphere, like that's also, that plays a big part. You know, you don't want to bring in guys that's just going to throw this whole thing for a loop. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, everything that I've seen with T. Higgins and that, I mean, he doesn't seem like that type of guy. I mean, listen, he's playing the business, right? He got franchise tagged and he's frustrated that he, you know, they don't want to do a long-term deal with him. And I get that, you know, this career is not forever and you should want to make as much money as you can in as short amount of time as you can, because unfortunately it can be over tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's nothing guaranteed, right? You know, yes. Can we get guaranteed money in our contracts? Sure. But is it, you know, the entirety of the contract? No. Right. And that's, I think that's the brutal thing about this league, is just the uncertainty and how quickly an injury, you know, can end your career. So I love that he's, you know, going to bat for himself, and I love that he wants the long-term deal. And if we can make it work, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I think could make a huge impact pretty quickly in New England.
I just see guys like Bourne and Judon and David Andrews and Dietrich Wise and Jabril Peppers as guys you want to be teammates with.
Yeah.
If you are a player in the league and you run into one of these guys, they will be able to say, come play New England. Look, yep. We're going to turn this thing around. We're going to get better, and you're going to be a part of something special. You want guys like that who can help sell your program, and Bourne, to me, is one of those guys.
100%. I mean, every single guy you just mentioned is one of those guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, right? I mean, they can look at anyone in the eye and say, hey, we got the pieces on defense, right? We're going to add maybe one or two, but, like, we're here. And we're going to continue to get better. We haven't made a ton of changes. We have some coaches coming back, Gerard, you know, and it's, the defense is going to continue to play well. They're going to get back some guys that they lost, and they're going to continue to do good things, right? So we just need the other side of the ball to start kind of picking up the slack, right? And now all of a sudden, these games that we were losing by a touchdown or going in the fourth quarter and driving down to try to tie a game or win a game, you know, now it's a different story, right? Maybe it's the flip, right? And we're the other team, you know, defense, we're putting it more on them to stop and do, you know, get a stop at the end of the game so we can just take a knee on it, right? And I think that's what we're looking for. I don't think that we're very far from that. I really do think that there are just a few pieces, right? Quarterback is obviously, everyone's going to talk about it, but the other side, the other, you know, 10 guys on the field, like, there are a few pieces away from really turning this thing around. And, you know, obviously there's a lot that goes into coaching and play calling and all of that, but that's out of our control, right? I mean, they can control bringing in the right guys and the guys that want to win and have good energy and good effort and good attitudes. And if we put a 53-man roster together with a bunch of guys like that, I think this season's going to be wildly different.
That's a good note to end on right there. Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again after the first few days of free agency next week.
All right, Chris, thanks.
Hey, everyone, thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.